This episode of LiveWire is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you can call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hello there, and welcome to the Best News Podcast from LiveWire, brought to you by Alaska Airlines. This is the show where we talk about what is good in the news. Thankfully, not from a rental car in San Diego this week. By the way, my name is Luke Burbank. Right over there is my friend Elena Passarello. Hi, Elena.
Hi, you sound just as good here as you did in your vehicle.
I'm in my normal setup now. I was nervous last week because I was trying to the listeners wouldn't know this, but at a certain point, my cell phone, which is how I was talking to all of you, got so overheated from being in the windshield of the rental car that it turned off. Like, it was protecting itself by turning itself off. So then we had to wait for my phone to cool down so I could call you back so we could finish the show. So this is a lot better. We should remind people, in case they're scoring at home, this is week 18 of the Best News Podcast.
Wow.
And we have a fascinating email from France, Elena.
From France?
From Nina, who is a sixth grader, who says, hi, Elena and Luke, greetings from France.
Bonjour, Nina. Bonjour, tiens, tiens.
I've been meaning to send you an email for quite some time. I thought I would do it now. I'm doing online schooling, and I listen to the Best News every Thursday morning during my recess.
Yeah.
My parents and I also listen to LiveWire as our Sunday tradition. Mom knits, and Dad and I play Sudoku while listening to the show.
Oh.
I mean, can you think of a more idyllic scene?
That sounds wonderful. A little French Sunday.
Wait for it. It gets more idyllic, Elena.
No.
So it turns out that Nina and her family live right across the street from a castle in France that was built in the 1100s.
Whoa.
And the best news that Nina wants to share with us this week is that she is almost finished transcribing a 200-year-old diary. So a couple moved into the castle recently and was like sorting through the stuff in the castle, and they found this diary that somebody was keeping, they think from 1819 to 1823.
Oh my gosh. This is an incredible story. And what an incredible sixth grader to be doing this archival work. Wow, Nina. Wow, wow, wow.
Right? So apparently back in those days, this is all in Nina's extremely thorough email.
Cool.
That, you know, paper was something that was really in short supply. So people would write on the back of other things, or in this particular case, this diary, Nina says that the woman who was keeping the diary wrote in tiny microscopic letters. And also she had terrible grammar handwriting. So what Nina's been doing, because she speaks French, is she's translating this diary. And she's also kind of fixing some of the, you know, word choice and grammar and things so that it's a little more readable. She says if she didn't do that, the diary would say, I at some grap for the first Tim the year. Wallach came.
This letter is amazing.
I'm telling you, we could do the whole show on this email from Nina.
She needs to get some school credit for this letter.
Like, absolutely. So she's translating this for her dad because he's American and the diary is in French. And I get the sense that Nina is fluent in both languages.
How cool.
So she is going to present the diary. She's going to finish her translation. They're going to make copies of it, and she's going to distribute it to the town on the 22nd of May so everyone can read this diary that Nina has been, like, rehabilitating.
I would like to resubmit my
best news.
That is the best news I've heard all week. Oh, my gosh. Nina, you have to tell us how that goes. That sounds wonderful. Oh, my gosh.
So thank you, Nina, for reaching out. A lot of pressure on the other emailers this week,
Elena,
because that sets the bar pretty high. And then Kirsten was checking in and loving the fact that North Seattle College, previously known as North Seattle Community College, got a shout out on the radio show
the other week
uh-huh.
because we were talking to Julian Saporiti, a.k.a. No-No Boy, mm-hmm. about how he went to Brown, and he asked me where I went, and I mentioned North Seattle, now North Seattle College. I didn't graduate from there, but I did take a blues guitar class there.
Is that the only class you took?
Yes.
That's how you started
part of
your
extension
your...
class, intro to blues guitar. And I was absolutely the worst student in the class.
Maybe you just didn't have the blues yet. Maybe you were
too
young.
Well, that was the thing. I hadn't lived enough.
You got to live to play the blues.
To have a proper case of the blues.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you for emailing in, everyone. Our email is bestnews@livewireradio.org if you would like to share the best news that's happening to you. But again, the bar has been set extremely high by Nina, but don't let that deter you.
Felicitación, Nina. Yay, yay, yay.
All right, let's get to some of the best news from the wider world. Elena, what are you seeing this week?
I don't know if this is the best news, but it's the best headline. apparently, our genius LiveWire best news intern, Jonas, laughed out loud when he read this one, and it happened the same to me. Maybe it'll happen to you. This was a headline in Calgary Herald last week, the newspaper, the Calgary Herald. Canadian astronauts no longer free to rob and kill with abandon on the moon.
Imagine it did. It got a laugh.
Opening the newspaper and finding that headline. That's just one way of describing a new amendment that has been built into the 2022 Canadian federal budget bill.
Okay. That's not where I would think space murder would show up.
Yeah, and it doesn't. It doesn't show up there. This is in this 443-page document, they've put in a little amendment that just extends Canadian law outside the Earth's atmosphere. So it's basically saying Canada's laws apply if you leave the planet.
Mm. If you are Canadian.
If you are Canadian, or if you're on some kind of a Canadian vessel, it is governed by Canada. And then the headliner writer of the Calgary Herald decided that headline was the best way to entice people to read the story.
It worked. We're talking about it.
So what this means is that the 9 Canadians who have previously gone up into space were completely ungoverned.
missed opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, and the most famous probably Canadian astronaut is Chris Hadfield, who was that guy who did the David Bowie ground control to Major Tom video.
Right.
Remember him? So that was on the International Space Station, and there are Canada is part of a treaty where there are laws that apply there. But on the way up, he could have, you know, done whatever he wanted before he got there. And it's actually an issue because there is the potential for crimes to happen in space. Somebody was accused of the first space crime not long ago when a woman astronaut who was up there was accused by her partner on the ground of identity theft.
Right. I remember that story. Like that she was the accusation, which I think ultimately
debunked.
Was dismissed.
Yes.
But the accusation was that this astronaut had been like using like the space internet.
Yeah, the ISS
to
computer.
Go into her ex-partner's bank account, which you just feel like you would be way too busy to do identity theft if you were in space.
I mean, yeah, I watch a lot of space TV and you're floating around. It's probably hard to type. I don't think you could get a lot of cybercrime done up there.
Yeah.
The other thing that makes it kind of important is that there's civilians going into outer space now.
Exactly.
There's private trips. We've got a new ISS in the works that is going to permanently be in lunar orbit. So there are more and more reasons to make sure that you're covered by some rule system, both when you're traveling to and up there.
Let's be honest. I don't want to stereotype.
Uh-huh.
But at this point, the people that are going into space are mostly billionaires and their friends. Mm-hmm. And you think those people aren't going to commit some space crime?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
We're sending up our wackiest and most disconnected people.
I know. That was the other funny thing about the headline, Canadian astronauts no longer free to rob and kill with abandon on the moon. Of all the people that I would assume with robbing and killing with abandon, Canadian astronauts are really low on the list. I put your millionaires and billionaires definitely above Chris Hadfield and, you know, whatever sweetheart Canadians are already up there.
Your people who have been operating basically outside of the law for most of their adult life or ever since they became billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people. I'm not going to name names, but I think we all can picture the particular dudes I'm thinking of.
Thurston Howell III from Gilligan's Island.
Exactly. That's exactly who I was thinking
Scrooge
of.
Scrooge McDuck.
Yep. Another noted billionaire who had a, let's just say, loosey-goosey connection to the law.
I believe that would be Lucy Ducky.
That's right. Indeed, we could not get out of this segment without some amount of wordplay.
Sorry.
Now, this isn't a story about duckies, but it is a story about condors that I saw. That's the best news that I saw this week, which is that California condors are returning to the northern redwoods of California for the first time in 100-plus years.
Wow.
Now, you, Elena, are actually quite informed and quite an expert on a lot of different animals because you wrote this great book, Animals Strike Curious Poses, and you've written a lot of magazine pieces and other things about animals. Have you looked into the condor situation at all in all of your research?
You know what comes to mind is has nothing to do with my research, but when I was growing up, when they were trying to save the condor, do you remember those pictures of the baby condors in the incubators that were getting fed by the human researchers in like condor puppets by, you know, their hand?
Yes, using, like, I do remember that.
That's the first thing that pops into my head. But I remember being told that we were not going to see any condors in our adult lives.
And we came very close to that. This is, I mean, part of the best news of this is that the sort of efforts to preserve the condor population in America have actually been pretty successful back in the 1970s because of poaching and habitat destruction. And this was a thing that I was shocked to read. Lead poisoning from condors eating animals that had been killed with bullets. Because, of course, you know, condors eat carrion. There were down to 22 surviving condors in California in the 1980s. And they took all, like, 22 condors because they were like, we're going to be out of condors really soon. And they basically put them in captivity and had them breed. And now they're up to more than 500 condors.
That's amazing.
In America, between ones that are in the wild and in captivity, but from 22
huge
to 500. And so there's a tribe in Northern California called the Yurok tribe, and they consider the condors to be sacred to their cultural practices. And they have really wanted to reintroduce the California condor to the northern part of California because the ones that have been in the wild have been kind of in the central and southern part of the state. And they've actually got a facility that they run in cooperation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And so they took these two male condors, which they've released now. Then they're known as, or their nicknames are, Poi Wee San, which means one who goes ahead, and Nes Kui Chokt, which means he returns. Again, apologies for my Yurok pronunciation, which is probably less than stellar.
Those are great names, though. I love that.
They are. Totally. So they've released these two condors now, and they seem to be doing well. And if they behave, this is in the story, behave normally, according to biologists, they're going to introduce more condors. They're going to female condors, and they're going to hope that they just start breeding up there in Northern California and having lots of condor babies.
Cool.
Now, I don't know if you and I talked about this on the show or off the air, but you know there are some kind of dazzling details about condors and vultures and why their faces look the way they look.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think we've talked about this. Tell me more.
You know how like a condor, and condors and vultures also are basically the same animal. The condor is just the very, very large
version
of a vulture.
Yeah.
But they have, you know, those very kind of iconic head. They don't have any feathers on their head. And scientists think it's because they eat a lot of things like, you know, old carrion and carcasses, where if they were to have feathers on their face, it would be a chance for like, you know, microbial things and stuff that was bad for them to get stuck in their feathers. Having a clean, smooth face means they're not going to pick up anything from the basically rotting meat that they're eating.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the place where they are being reintroduced in Northern California near an airport?
It's near Redwood National Park. So I think that's a fairly a peaceful place, not too many huge jetliners taking off.
That worries me because if they eat carrion, they're going to need to have an airport nearby.
Oh my goodness. That's what this was all about. That's where we were going with this. That's actually a pretty good joke. I've also once been followed by vultures on a jog, which is a terrible feeling. Feels like foreshadowing.
As they start circling.
When I used to live in Bellingham, I would go on a run and it was more than once, I would look up and see vultures way up in the air doing those little loops. And I thought, do they know something I don't? The fact that those vultures were wrong and that they're saving the condors in Northern California, that's the best news that I heard all week.
Woohoo!
All right, coming up on the radio show this week, we are going to be talking to a true legend, John Waters, the filmmaker and actor. I know.
So cool.
For years and years, I was hoping we would get a chance to talk to John Waters. And, well, he wrote his first ever book of fiction, or at least a book that's strictly fiction. It's called Liar Mouth. And he came on the show to talk about it. So we're going to play that interview. Also, we're going to talk to Sasha LaPointe about how the TV show Twin Peaks impacted her life as a young Native woman in the Pacific Northwest. And then we are also going to have a song from one of our very favorite bands, Deep Sea Diver. That's all going to be this week on the radio show. Hits the internet on Friday and a radio station near you this weekend. All right, that is going to do it for this week's edition of the Best News Podcast. Big thanks to our team who makes the show possible. Laura Haddon is our executive producer. Our producer and editor is Melanie Sevchenko. Our assistant editor is Trey Hester. Special thanks, as always, to our intern and chief story finder, Jonas Myers. Woo-hoo. Molly Pettit is our technical director and mixer. Our theme music, arguably the best part of the show, is composed by A. Walker Spring. And also thanks to all of you, our listeners. Again, if you want to write us an email, it's bestnews@livewireradio.org. All right, we will see you real soon. In the meantime, please head on out there and have the absolute best week. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a piping hot episode of Livewire delivered right to your heart and ears each week? Well, guess what? That can happen when you subscribe to the Livewire podcast feed, and you'll get the joy of surprising conversation every week. So go ahead and do it. It's super easy. You click on the button at the top of your podcast app, and bam, you are Livewire subscribed. And if you're still, you know, feeling the love, if you're enjoying the show, hey, maybe you could hook us up and leave us a quick review. That'll help more people find out about Livewire. And thank you.